Hello, this is Joy Ray Freeman. The following program was produced and broadcast during 2000. I am a master healer, spiritual warrior, writer, and workshop retreat facilitator. My intent is to assist those who are ready to become whole and productive contributors for creating a better world. Please check out my main website for empowerment and or healing opportunities. Joy, number 2, letter U, .org. Enjoy the program.
This is Joy Ray Freeman, bringing joy to the world. Are you a slow, flowing river? Or a big, solid rock? A breeze blowing freely? Or the snow-capped mountaintop? A butterfly, a hummingbird, or turtle slowly strolling? Maybe a blazing fire lighting up with smoke, swirling, blowing. Well, it takes each one of us to complete the giant puzzle. And you may have noticed, each one is special. And it is what it is. One of the hardest lessons for humans seems to be, the only change we're meant to make is not of others, but inside ourselves, both you and me.
Happiness, and there is no other side. mind or body, and no star to guide. But there is one to teach, one to learn, one to marry, one to burn. One of night, one of day, one of metal, one of clay. One to listen, one to talk, one to crawl and one to walk. One to heal and one to bleed, one complete and one in need. One of science, one of soul, one that's broken, one that's whole. One that's weak and one that's stout, one with faith and one without. One to rise and one to fall, one for no one, one for all. One to keep and one to give, one to die and one to live. Noah built an ark of wood, even though the sky was clear.
Angel, joy. Angel, great with God's own power, standing tall, majestic, and strong. I am praying to you every hour to help fulfill me all day long. Angel, angel, ever near me, bless each word that is well spoken. Lead me to the cosmic sea, where I am one with God's great ocean. The universal sound of Om is with me all day long. The joyous swells of God's own word are breaking through the crust of wrong. As I am lifted on wings of song, I stand within your radiant light. I am the strength for which I long, out picturing good with all my might. My angel, I love you, I do. With your span of wings of fire, with all God's good in view, raise, oh raise me ever higher.
There was a lot that I would learn. song. He said, now life's like a water wheel. It's turning round that water wheel. River runs, river flows, round and round and round it goes. It keeps on turning like a water wheel. Now I remember later.
An article in National Geographic several years ago provided a penetrating picture of how God's wings work. After a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers began their trek up the mountain to assess the inferno's damage. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, perched statuesquely on the ground at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the eerie sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick. When he gently struck it, three tiny chicks scurried from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother, keenly aware of impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and had gathered them under her wings, instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise. She could have flown to safety, but had refused to abandon her babies. When the blaze had arrived and the heat had scorched her small body, the mother had remained steadfast. Because she had been willing to die, those under the cover of her wings would live. Thank you.
Was written by Irma Bombeck, and she had lost her life to cancer. This is in her memory. If I had my life to live over, I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for the day. I would have burned the pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet was stained or the sofa was faded. I would have eaten the popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would have shared more of the responsibility carried by my husband. I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and hairsprayed. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching life. I would never have bought anything just because it was practical, wouldn't show soil, or was guaranteed to last a lifetime. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment and realized that the wonderment growing inside me was the only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. When my kids kissed me impetuously, I would never have said, "Later, now you go get washed up for dinner." There would have been more "I love yous," more "I'm sorry's," but mostly, given another shot at life,
I would seize every minute, look at it, and really see it, live it, and never give it back. Stop sweating the small stuff. Don't worry about who doesn't like you, who has more, or who's doing what. Instead, just cherish the relationship we have with those who do love us. Let's think about what God has blessed us with and what we are doing each day to promote ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Life is too short to just let it pass you by.
High o'er the coast of Alaska he flies, wide across the prairies he covers the skies, a picture of courage and beauty, a symbol of freedom and right, riding the wind through the mountains, guided by nature, an occasional eagle in flight. When the shore ice is melting in Kodiak Bay, knowing that spring is well on its way, he calls to his mate of a lifetime, to a yearling nest in the thorn, planting the egg in the branches, with God's assistance, an occasional eagle is born. And he flies, covering the land, stirring the hearts through all generations of man. Poets tell of his bearing, truth on a feathery wing. Painters draw from inspiration a beautiful picture that only a memory can bring. I thought he would always be there, but now I only hear stories how the great bird of truth is alive. With a fist in my pocket, I'm praying an eternal prayer that the great bird of truth will survive. And he flies, generations of man, a picture of courage and beauty, a symbol of freedom and right, riding the wind through the mountains, guided by nature, an occasional eagle in flight. God's assistance, an occasional eagle in flight.
A man is flying in a hot air balloon and realizes he is lost. He reduces height and spots a man down below. He lowers the balloon further and shouts, "Excuse me, can you tell me where I am?" The man below says, "Yes, you're in a hot air balloon hovering 30 feet above this field. You must work in information technology," says the balloonist. "I do," replies the man. "How did you know?" "Well," says the balloonist, "everything you have told me is technically correct, but it's no use to anyone." The man below says, "You must work in management." "I do," replies the balloonist, "but how did you know?" "Well," says the man, "you don't know where you are or where you're going, but you expect me to be able to help. You're in the same position you were before we met, and now it's my fault." In New York, CHUSH is a school that caters to learning disabled children. Some children remain in CHUSH for their entire school life, while others can be mainstreamed into conventional schools. At a CHUSH fundraising dinner, the father of a CHUSH child delivered a speech that would never be forgotten by all who attended. After extolling the school and its dedicated staff, he cried out, "Where is the perfection in my son, Shia? Everything God does is done with perfection. But my child cannot understand things as other children do. My child cannot remember facts and figures as other children do. Where is God's perfection?" The audience was shocked by the question, pained by the father's anguish, and stilled by the piercing query. "I believe," the father answered. That's when God brings a child like this into the world. The perfection he seeks is in the way other people react to this child. He then told the following story about his son, Shia. One afternoon, Shia and his father walked past a park where some boys Shia knew were playing baseball. Shia asked, "Do you think they will let me play?" Shia's father knew that his son was not at all athletic and that most boys would not want him on their team. But Shia's father understood that if his son was chosen to play, it would give him a comfortable sense of belonging. So his father approached one of the boys in the field and asked if Shia could play. The boy looked around for guidance from his teammates. Getting none, he took matters into his own hands and said, "We are losing by 6 runs. And the game is in the 8th inning. I guess he can be on our team, and we'll try to put him up to bat in the 9th inning. Shia's father was ecstatic as Shia smiled broadly. Shia was told to put on a glove and go out to play short center field. In the bottom of the 8th inning, Shia's team scored a few runs, but was still behind by 3. In the bottom of the 9th inning, Shia's team scored again, and now, with two outs and the bases loaded with the potential winning run on base, Shia was scheduled to be up to bat. Would the team actually let Shia bat at this juncture and give away their chance to win the game? Surprisingly, Shia was given the bat. Everyone knew that it was all but impossible because Shia didn't even know how to hold the bat properly, let alone hit with it. However, as Shia stepped up to the plate, the pitcher moved a few steps to lob the ball in softly, so Shia should at least be able to make contact. The first pitch came in and Shia swung clumsily and missed. One of Shia's teammates came up to Shia, and together they held the bat and faced the pitcher waiting for the next pitch. The pitcher again took a few steps forward to toss the ball softly towards Shia. As the pitch came in, Shia and his teammates swung at the bat together, and they hit a slow ground ball to the pitcher. The pitcher picked up the soft grounder and could easily have thrown the ball to the first baseman. Shia would have been out, and that would have ended the game. Instead, the pitcher took the ball and threw it on a high arc to right field, far beyond the reach of the first baseman. Everyone started yelling, "Shia, run to first! Run to first!" Never in his life had Shia run so fast. He scampered down the baseline, wide-eyed and startled. By the time he reached first base, the right fielder had the ball. He could have thrown the ball to the second baseman, who would tag out Shia, who was still running. But the right fielder understood what the pitcher's intentions were, so he threw the ball high and far over the third baseman's head. Everyone yelled, "Run to second! Run to second!" Shia ran towards second base as the runners ahead of him deliriously circled the bases toward home. As Shia reached second base, the opposing shortstop ran to him, turned him in the direction of third base, and shouted, "Run to third!" As Shia rounded third, the boys from both teams ran behind him, screaming, "Shia, run home!" Shia ran home, stepped on home plate, and all 18 boys lifted him on their shoulders and made him the hero, as if he had hit a grand slam and won the game for his team. "That day," said the father softly, with tears now rolling down his face, "those 18 boys reached their level of God's perfection."
Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, such a leap or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Then I know why I believe.
Sweet but sad little message that was inspired by a small girl dying of cancer. It's called Slow Dance. Have you ever watched kids on a merry-go-round or listened to the rain slapping on the ground? Ever followed a butterfly's erratic flight or gazed at the sun into the fading night? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Do you run through each day on the fly? When you ask, how are you? Do you hear the reply? When the day is done, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Ever told your child, we'll do it tomorrow, and in your haste not see his sorrow? Ever lost touch, let a good friendship die, 'cause you never had time to call and say hi? You better slow down, don't dance so fast. Time is short, the music won't last. When you run so fast to get somewhere, you miss half the fun of getting there. When you worry and hurry throughout your day, it is like an unopened gift thrown away. Life is not a race. Do take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over.
Johnson was a common man, four children and some bottom land. Early to bed, he said, now that ain't me. Gotta spend some time with my family. Left to its own device, baby comes June, and children grow up way too soon. So love your neighbor as yourself. Don't use money to measure wealth. Trust in God, but lock your door. Buy low, sell high, and slow dance more. Mamie Johnson was Grady's wife. She bore his children, grace to life. Hand in hand, side by side, they worked hard to simplify. Some folks have, some have not. What matters most is what you do with what you've got. So love your neighbor as yourself. Don't use money to measure wealth. Trust in God, but lock your door. Buy low, sell high, slow dance more and more. I think I understand what my father's father meant. He said, son, what matters most? You can count on just one hand. Love your neighbor.
Forgive me for the times I didn't hear your words. It wasn't that I didn't care. My heart of hearts heard. Forgive me for the moments I failed to see your pain. It wasn't that your pain was less. Please show me once again. Forgive me for the day I lost our conversation. It wasn't that I was bored. You inspired a new creation. Forgive me when I passed you and I failed to say hello. It wasn't that you weren't there. I value you. Please know. Forgive me for forgetting to show you how I feel. It wasn't that I tried to hide. I needed time to heal. Forgive my many blunders. They don't belong to you. They were the times I failed myself. Please forgive me. I love you. Pat Hale. Thank you.
The joy of laughter. Have you ever had a depressing thought in the middle of a good laugh? It's next to impossible. When you laugh, your brain produces natural mood elevators that miraculously free you from attachment to pain and suffering. Laughter brings about a deep sense of joy and peace that is truly therapeutic. Humor not only transforms your mind and emotions, it can cure your body. People have healed themselves of chronic illnesses through introducing laughter into their lives. Now medical science is applying the healing power of humor to reduce stress and promote the body's recuperative powers. Laughter also helps you to keep your life in its proper perspective. When you laugh at yourself, you learn to take yourself far less seriously. That is why angels can fly, because they take themselves so lightly. Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. Think about your most treasured relationships. It's likely that you and your closest friends share a common sense of humor. When was the last time you had a good laugh? If it has been a while, let your inner child come out and play. Watch your favorite comedy. Try seeing the cosmic humor in your situation. Having fun in life doesn't mean you're avoiding pain. Just enjoy yourself. If you take a smile with you everywhere and sprinkle laughter in the air, I'll guarantee your day
and the day of those around you will be lighter and much more beautiful. Until next time, this is Joy Ray Freeman, wishing joy to the world.